Oh yeah. Here we are. Here we go.
Cats and all.
So we're in a different venue today.
Oh, you were hot, dude. You're real hot right now.
We're coming in real hot. All right, how we going?
You're good. Feeling good? Feeling good.
All right. So we're in a new location today.
Yeah.
We're not in a kitchen. We're in a living room.
Yeah, we got to move around.
We got a mascot, Sammy the mascot, running around somewhere.
What is Sammy?
Sammy's a little cat.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're playing that game.
I'm for the listeners at home, you know. They don't know who Sammy is.
They do not.
Who else? We got a special guest, Ray.
We got Ray Bones.
Ray Bones.
Mr. Ray Bones. In studio today, as long as we got Johnny too.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got all the gang's all here.
Wow. It's been a while since we did a show.
It's been at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe a month and a half. I don't know.
I'm going to blame you.
Yeah, it's my fault.
I'll blame you.
I'll take the blame for that.
But a lot has happened in the time we've been gone.
Yeah.
Yeah?
A lot has happened.
You went home again, right?
Yeah, I went back home again.
Back to Florida?
It was a Saturday night before Mother's Day, and I was like, man, I should just go home. And so I, like, went home. I was like, found a cheap flight, $120 or something like that.
Not bad.
Took a flight to Florida on Mother's Day, bought a truck, and drove back up.
You bought a truck.
Yeah.
So who'd you buy this truck from?
Family friend.
Family friend.
What kind of truck is it?
Yeah, what kind of truck
is it? It's a 95 Chevy S10 pickup. It's got 188K on it. Burns a little oil. Brakes are bad. The ball joint on the right side is a little broken. Shocks are bad.
But the important thing is it made it from Florida.
Totally.
It sounds like the perfect vehicle to drive from Florida to New York.
I think you called me at one point and you were like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Nope. No,
but you did.
Yeah, I made it up. So
especially with 188 thou.
Yeah. I mean, burning oil. Yeah, burning. Yeah. Like, I put it in every time I check gas.
Oh, yeah, a quart each time.
Oh, yeah.
So you get in this thing. I've been in it.
Yeah.
What
it
color
stinks.
Is it?
It's white.
A white truck.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope, though. I mean, the bodies fly. It's looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's six-cylinder. It's a stick shift. It's fun, man. It's a good pickup truck. I wanted a pickup truck for the summer, so I said, oh, I'm going to get a pickup truck.
Oh, I remember the one thing you did tell me. You were like, yo, got a truck. Let's go cruising around Manhattan and pick up people's junk.
Yeah, dude. That's a good business. Go around Fifth Avenue and like find some old
dumpster diving. You want to do some dumpster diving?
There's nothing wrong with
that. We should do some dumpster diving and bring it to the show. See what we get.
Yeah.
So.
Certain parts of Manhattan, you're not going to be able to drive that through now.
Really?
Oh, well, Midtown. Yeah, Midtown. They closed it off. I walked through there the other day. They have just like hundreds of lawn chairs.
But like cheap lawn chairs.
Cheap lawn chairs, yeah. Well, people are sitting in them. I mean, they ain't falling through.
No. I think my favorite part about it is the people that are going to sit there are all going to be sitting there smoking butts. And Bloomberg hates cigarettes. And he created these lawn chairs.
He did.
Was it free yoga as well they have now in Times Square? You can actually go for free yoga.
I could see it.
So have like a million people staring at your ass while you're doing yoga. Like yoga is one of those things you want to do in like sort of an enclosed space. Like I don't want to be in Downward Dog and having some perv looking up my taint. You
I don't
know?
Really want you in Downward Dog either.
No.
You know especially have a few of these, you know, pig tourists show up.
It's true.
Bending over, showing things that haven't seen the light of day in a long time.
But I've always been a fan of, you know, making an area more open for people to just hang out. You know, like that's all. Now the streets have become just one big sidewalk. Mm. I mean, you're a driver, so you have a bigger problem with it.
Well, I don't drive through Times Square anyway, but I think it's just Bloomberg's like little personal hissy fit that he didn't get his congestion plan in passed. So instead he decided let's just close down Times Square.
But
delivery truck guys are going nuts.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's what is it? They're doing it for a year to see how it works.
Is it only a trial period?
I think
period,
it's only a trial period.
Hmm.
See how it works.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe it'll work.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't drive through, so I don't care. I'm more open for it to be walking through. It's interesting, though. I'll tell you that much.
That it is.
So, with this truck that you got that you can't drive through Times Square,
yeah,
are you? So you brought it up here, and you were like, maybe I should. I wish we had Scrap here because he tells the story.
Yeah, it's a good story. We'll save it for Scrap and I went to the auto mechanic to see about possibly selling the truck. But I was like, maybe I'll get rid of it. And he was, you know, he drove it around. And he's like, oh, this is scary. Oh, this is bad. Oh, and he was. Like sweating, like he was getting nervous. And I was like, buddy, this is not your truck. Like, you're possibly buying this truck. Like, don't get all nervous. And I think it was more of an acting. We'll wait for Scrap. Scrap tells the story the best.
He does. Maybe we'll call him later.
Yeah. But,
man.
Ray, how you doing over there?
All right. Hanging in there.
Yeah, you're kind of quiet, you know?
I'm listening. This is all new for me. You know,
he's rocking it.
It's a learning experience.
So, Ray, Ray goes old school. Ray goes old school. We know him for a really long time. He's a regular, and one of the boys.
Right.
He's been around the block, been in the war
more than once.
We've been through the war.
He's an older gentleman.
Yeah. He's an older gentleman. I'm gonna say 113.
Close. Not quite. On the mark.
Should we do a guess Ray's age?
Well, we can still guess.
I can't. He knows. I know.
Oh, you know? All right. Do you know Ray's age?
I know roundabouts.
Roundabouts.
We'll play hot or cold. We'll do something along those lines. John knows it. Ray obviously knows it. So make your first guess.
I forgot.
You're not gonna deck me across the table if I say
something. He's got a cane. He will hit you with it.
I'll say 72.
Oh, and you should deck him. You should totally deck him.
Okay.
I'm going to say 113.
You're playing it safe, right? Who wants to be decked first?
Yeah, that's all right.
So,
the actual answer is...
Go ahead.
64.
Wow. 64. All right. Soon to be 65.
Soon to be 65. When's the birthday, Ray?
September 29th.
September 29th.
I'm going to write that down. We should send the Dave and Giggles birthday card to Ray.
Birthday card.
Totally. We should have a party.
65.
Well, we're definitely having one.
All right.
It's Matthews on the 28th, and there's another guy that works with me on the 27th, so we're going to have that big, big party.
Oh, nice.
Where are we having it?
Where else?
If we're invited. The Brooklyn Tavern. Come down to the Brooklyn Tavern. Come say hello to Ray.
Call the Brooklyn Tavern. It's the BT.
All right. Now we've gone to the BT. So come down, say hi to Ray.
Pretty much find him there every Friday.
He's the guy who looks like he's 113. Always wearing his army hat.
Right. And it's a Cheers bar for anybody that's new, hasn't been there, so everybody knows my name.
That's true. Everyone does know your name. Ray. Ray Bones, Mr. Bones.
One time we were trying to reach him, actually, my friend Angela and I, and he didn't have his phone on him. So I said, I bet you I can call the BT, and I bet you they know who he is. So sure enough, I ring up the BT, some guy answered. I'm like, is Ray there? He's like... Oh, the old guy with a cane, he's always here. He's up there wandering around somewhere. I said, all right, good. We'll be there soon.
Yeah. Nice. So, Ray, you got a date today? This is why you're answering to get out? You got a little date?
Well, it's not quite that. She's marooned in Long Island.
So you're going to be the savior.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
There you go.
Now, I'm not going out to Long Island today, but there's always the future.
There's always the future dates.
Right.
That's good.
That is good.
Well, Ray, we have a little segment we like to call Dude of the Day.
Who's the Dude of the Day?
It's something. And I think that Ray is our official Dude of the Day.
113-year-old Dude of the Day. Well, of course, Ray is always the Dude of the Day when he's around. Ray, yeah. So you have some good stories. You've had some good stories about the war. That's always, you know, you walk around with that army hat, and I'm always like, Ray's got some good stories. Yeah. Been around the block. John knows a lot of good stories.
Oh, yeah.
What would be a good one to tell on the air?
Well, I always go back to the classic, the waking up on the wrong side of the wall story and everything that goes along with it.
Wow.
And we're talking the Berlin Wall here, yes.
Really? Berlin Wall.
The only one that ever really existed, yes.
So you took the slow boat out to Germany, right?
Correct.
All right.
It was a merchant marine ship called the HMS Rose.
Now, we did this last time. It's the USS. It wasn't a British ship, right?
No. No, it was something Morris. It was something H. Morris S. Rhodes.
Oh, it wasn't His Majesty's Service or whatever.
No. Definitely not, John. Definitely.
All right.
So how long did that take, going over the slow boat?
9 days.
Nine days
on the high seas. Wow. And it was really interesting because we had a fire drill. We left out of the Brooklyn Army Terminal, needless to say, in Brooklyn. And we had a fire drill underneath the Verrazano Bridge. And you could tell the people that came from the Midwest and were probably upstate too. The largest body of water they ever saw was a farm pond. And we had to put on the life vest and looked around and all you heard was up chucky.
Bunch of pukers.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a? Didn't you get a someone puke in your food?
Yeah, that was. You remember that
I
story?
I do.
Yeah, you don't, or is this?
Oh,
well,
I do. No, I do. I remember.
Yeah, that was the ship rocked. We were out. I guess we're more than halfway there, and eating, and you had these huge sectional plates, and divvied up, and you got your blop, blop, grits, blop, egg, blop, this. And all of a sudden, the ship rocked, and my tray went flying to the left, and tray to my right, came flying right in front of me, and settled right in front of me. And there was vomit in it. Okay, I don't think I'm hungry anymore, so I left.
So basically, I remember last time you were telling me, it was like, there really wasn't any fighting, there really wasn't any, like, any problems with anybody, because everybody was sick.
Well, I never really got sick. It was that I was talking to a guy for a period of time, and the way the ship was set up to get to the mess hall, or the galley, as they say, on the seas, you had to go upstairs, downstairs, and over. And then you finally got there. And I was talking to this guy, and we had to wait endlessly for the food. And this guy was talking to me. No signs of, you know, he's going to throw up. And he says, excuse me, polite as could be. And then just goes over and throws up in a garbage can. And I'm like, okay, I don't think I'm hungry again today.
And didn't you say after that conversation you didn't see him the rest of the boat trip?
I didn't see him after that. I don't know whether he dove overboard or what, you know, or else he was
poor guy.
Stuck on the throne.
So you pull in 9 days out. You pull in to Germany.
Right.
What do they do? What is the whole shuffle?
You wind up being discharged, or you disembark. Well, I shouldn't say disembark. You get off the ship in Bremerhaven. And I think we were greeted by a guy that was left over from World War II, an old German. He was buying everyone drinks. And needless to say, we all got kind of drunk fast because we didn't have that much food. We didn't have our land legs, never mind our sea legs. So the thing is that we had to wait for the duty train to take us from Bremerhaven into Berlin. But I remember waking up the next morning. What transpired the rest of that night, I have no idea.
So you got wasted. Yeah, you pull into Germany, you get wasted.
Wasted.
And all these colonels and everyone there was like, they're okay with that? We're going to let you go out
you
and get wasted?
You don't see any colonels. You know? They're not the ones that are going to get on the duty train. You know? They have their own little chauffeur car. Their Mercedes.
Interesting.
Jeez.
So after that, is it duty time? After you get wasted, it's time.
Well,
for...
we got on the train, and then we had to go. We start out in West Germany, and then you have to go into East Germany because Berlin was in East Germany. So you have to wait. You have all these stop points along the way on the trek, and then finally the next morning you wake up, and I'm like, where the hell am I? I was not a happy pup, you know.
So this is when you woke up on the other side?
I woke up in West Berlin, yeah.
So you woke up in West Berlin. Tell me about West Berlin compared to the other side of the wall. Give me the two sides. Give me the two sides when you got there.
Well, West Berlin looks comparable to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. East Berlin was what it looked like after World War II.
So Russia
hollowed
out
buildings, no traffic whatsoever.
It looked like Asbury Park that time we were down there. It was all bombed out buildings.
Yeah. Bombed out buildings.
Right.
But, so you wake... go ahead.
Well, no, I thought, weren't the Americans supposed to be in West Berlin with the French and the English? Am I talking about the right period of time here?
Correct.
So, but you were supposed to be in East Berlin.
No.
Oh.
I was supposed to be West.
I got into East Berlin one time when I wasn't supposed to be there. But
you don't remember how you got there.
This is the story. This is the story. They had in his, I guess it was his barracks, they had a running contest that, I forget what the prize was, but whoever could sleep with the ugliest woman won the prize.
Let's not go to sleep.
Well, whoever woke up with the ugliest woman, let's put it that way. Maybe there was no sleeping.
The prize was $50, whoever could get the skankiest looking woman. And it had to be verified.
Really?
And then I wound up waking up on the other side of the wall. And I looked in the bed and I'm like, oh my God. I won.
I won.
I didn't say that. I didn't know. But as soon as I got back to the billets, right, you got $50 coming. And I'm like, oh my God.
So they verified it. Your guys saw it before it was. They saw it going down. They saw the ship going, you know.
I don't remember the ship going down, I'll tell you that much. I was torpedoed.
What is going on here?
It's
Ray. Somebody tapping. It's tapping.
You can't tap on the sound machine. Yeah.
Come on, Ray. Come on, Ray. I know you're getting all nervous about waking up with the ugliest girl in the world.
But now tell them about how you had to get across back to the home place. It had no papers on them. Did you even have clothes? Or you found your clothes, right?
Yeah. My underwear I left there. I said, the hell with this. I'm not returning that back to my billets. But
you had to get on the train.
I didn't know
computers,
I was in
right?
East Berlin when I woke up. Because I was still aghast at this woman that was alongside of me. And
how old were you at this time?
I was 21.
Wow.
So it was like 100 years ago.
Yeah. No, deduct 21 from 113.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the
like
Berlin Wall in 1909 was a big
big time.
So...
You had to merge with commuters, right? You said there was a bunch of people actually that go to work on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, right.
And he just kind of blended in with them on the train. Right.
Did you have a uniform on?
No.
No? Oh, you were in civilian clothes.
I would have been in touch with the American authorities as well as the Eastern authorities if I had my uniform. Because I didn't have any authorization to go there at all. But I didn't know I was in East Berlin when I woke up. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't hear the sounds of traffic. That's not a good thing. You know, so... So all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, and I'm like sneaking out of the building, and I had no idea which way to go. And there were two subway systems within East Berlin and West Berlin. It was the S-Bahn and the U-Bahn, right? And I'm like, the S-Bahn was the one that traversed both East and West Berlin, and I'm like, I have no idea where it is.
How many days in were you when you this happened?
Well, it wasn't days into the army. It was days I was in Berlin.
Yeah, days into Berlin.
Yeah, I got there April Fool's Day in 66, so it was probably the summertime.
1866, right?
Yeah. We're going to have to send you to math school there. But it was a while. But anyway, to make a long story even longer, I finally found the S-Bahn, and I got back, and I was like, thank God. You know, I'm on the right side of the wall, you know, so...
Now, the interesting thing, you don't remember how you got there in the first place, though.
Wow. So, she,
sounds like she roofied
during
you.
The night, he moved across the wall, and he doesn't know how.
I don't know.
Hammered Ray, 21 years old, spring chicken running around the Berlin Wall.
Don't know what's going on.
Summer of love, right, Ray?
Man,
summer of love.
That's right. Crazy.
Yep.
It's not similar stories, but like
this ought to be good. Which wall did you go over?
Well, when I was 20 years old, I was in Berlin. I did a little tour of Europe, you know, by myself, and I met this girl at going to the theater. You know, she was a German, you know,
Berliner,
yeah. I met her, and we start talking at the theater, and I'm watching the plays and stuff like that. And she's like, "Oh, let's hang out." So we hang out, and then the next night we make a date to go see another play. And so we go into this play. I started hanging out with her, and then I end up going back to her place. And, you know, I was 20 years old, a spring chicken. You know, there was no war going on, of course. But, like, you know, I sleep at her place, and, you know, nothing happened. I just crashed at her place. It was sort of like a nice plutonic thing, but I think she wanted something to happen.
Like Pluto?
Yeah.
Plutonic.
Platonic. Yeah, all right, platonic. But she lived in East Berlin. And I woke up and I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Maybe it was the sister of the one that I was.
Maybe. But she was actually pretty decent looking. But I was like, you know, I didn't do anything with her. And then the next night we go out, she starts making out with all these dudes. And I'm like, well, it's probably a good thing that I didn't hook up with this girl. Because she was just looking for a little bit of American love, you know? But
the horror of Berlin.
Maybe she just couldn't find it in you.
No.
You just backed out for some reason.
Chickened out. It's 20 years old, scared in East Berlin. Well, I think, Ray, your story is a lot cooler than mine.
Yeah, definitely.
At least he got $50 out.
Yeah. It's true.
And that was a lot of money back in the day, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
It is, especially when you're in the military. How much did you get paid in the military back then?
It was, when I attained the rank of E4, it's $168.60 a month gross. And after they took out state tax, even though I was not in New York State, they took out state tax and federal tax. It was $144 net a month.
A month.
Right.
So you're getting like...
In the 60s.
Like $40 a week.
Again, Dave, I think we have to send you the math class. Four into 144 is a little over 30-something bucks a week.
Just messing with you. All right, so...
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
Well, shit, I thought I was calling live on the Dave and Giggles, but I guess we ain't taking phone calls at this time. Send my love to Giggles. my favorite shock jock.
Dave and Giggles at gmail.com. That's one thing I find we don't do that much.
We don't plug ourselves.
We don't plug ourselves.
We do no promotion.
We do no promotion. We should really get on that.
Yeah.
If you guys want to promote us, we'll give you stuff to promote.
Totally. If you want to give us songs of your band, if you want to tell us what shows you're doing,
whatever.
We want to help you out.
We want to help you out to help us out, to help everybody out.
Totally.
I think we're going to the Northside Music Festival.
Are we
which
now?
Is the June 12th, 13th, 14th. I think we should go down there and do some promoting.
All right, let's do
but
it.
But it's a big outdoor festival, music festival. Come on down.
You should do
have
it.
Some fun.
You should bring some recording equipment.
Yeah, we'll do some interviews and stuff.
Interviews
so look
street.
For Giggles and his crazy hair and come up and say hello.
And Dave's the big guy with the beard and Tifus.
Exactly.
Yeah. This brings us to our shameless plug section of the show.
All right, go ahead.
The Astoria Music Project. It's a new collaboration of bands that are all kind of based around the Astoria, Queens area. And they just had their little Memorial Day shindig last week, which was pretty nice. They had about 9 or 10 bands, some barbecue, some beers. It was a good time. So check them out at AstoriaMusicProject.com, and they're on Facebook and all that other good stuff.
Well, that is pretty great.
So, yeah, man.
It's good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
That's great. Good movie, bad movie.
You want to do good movie, bad movie? I think we're all going to know who's John's going to pick. Star Trek is a good movie. Terminator is a bad movie.
Oh, he jumped right in on that on me, huh? I would put Terminator above some of the other bad stuff that's out there. What was that?
What was that?
It was like a...
Yeah, totally was. Where was that?
Who's got a bass in their pocket?
I think it's Ray.
Yeah,
is that you?
I think Ray's got some funk in his shorts.
Yeah, I was really impressed to see you had a cell phone.
Yeah.
I didn't think, you know, you could use one.
Okay. I didn't know I could use one either. Remember, I'm 113 years of age. And counting.
Totally. And counting. So your son, we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
Your son wants to join the Navy, right?
Correct.
How do you feel about that?
Horrible.
Really?
Yes.
Are you going to tell him no?
I
don't do it?
Well, I
How old is he?
23.
23 Oof. Years young. Yeah. So what are you going to say to him? You're talking to
well,
him today,
I've already
right?
talked to him about it, and I said I don't like the idea. But then again, he is 23 years of age. He's old enough to make up his own mind. So, and he's thinking of going into... "quote unquote," the nuclear program.
Ooh.
So
he's going to come out all glowing.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's going to emulate his father, you know. So.
No, you're just full of booze, right?
That be true. That be true.
So, what are the? I mean, apart from the obvious, you know, disagreements with going into the military service right now, what is the sort of like? What do you want to tell? Like, what's the sort of, you know? You just think it's a bad idea because he's going to be away, just because it's dangerous? Like,
well, it's a combination of all the above. The thing is that I was drafted into the military, so I didn't have any choice. He has a choice. So the idea is that when you go in, any of the forces, the armed forces you go into today, the minimum is 4 years.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
So he goes out, he's coming back 27. See, I do my math.
Well, yeah, well, no. Well, see, you have to go this one step further there, Dave.
So what does he come out at?
He's not going to go in until March of next year, so he would be 24 at that time. So by the time he would get out, he would be 28.
Really? 28?
Yeah. Those are prime years.
They are prime years.
Those are the best years of my
well,
life.
The interesting thing is that if he goes in there, he wants to get into the nuclear thing, do you think by the time he comes out, they'll get him a job? Or by the time he comes out, like, they're just going to kick him to the curb, kind of like the way they did to you.
Yeah, well, that was years ago. It's a little different today, but the idea is that he's going to get the training, and if he, the only fallback he has, I'm colorblind, but he's not, but he failed the colorblind test, but it's because he said he misread the instructions. Now, I don't understand how that's possible, because, like, what color is that? What instruction is that to be? You know?
Good for the radio. Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice.
That's red, that yellow, that blue, that green.
What are you pointing at? There's no colors like that.
He's pointing at
oh,
that
okay.
Blue.
All right. All right.
There is green over there, too. Are you colorblind, too, Dave?
Maybe.
Maybe.
What else? Is he going in this nuclear program? He's not a science type guy, right?
Yeah, he is, isn't he? You've always told me he was.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
You don't know.
The thing is that. With the program, apparently it's really one of the best that any of the armed forces can offer. And contrary to popular belief, that when you get out of the service today, usually you have the kind of training where you're going to be scoped up. But
well, I think I'm going to play devil's advocate here for your son. Now's not a good time to be looking for a job. So maybe going in, having something steady for 4 years could be good as to, like, he's not going to, maybe won't be able to find a job. And if he does, he'll just be bouncing from job to job to job for the next 4 years. But instead, he's getting training.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
And he's also got someplace where he's going to be, you know?
Right. The only thing is that there are inherent risk by being in the military, even though you're in the Navy, you can still blow up the ship.
Yeah,
you know?
So it could be on a sub with 100 other dudes.
He's never he's never going to be on a sub. I'll make sure of that.
Yeah.
Well, now, are you if I may make a little inference, a little educated guess here, are you trying to get him not to go into it because you're worried that you know, you're not going to see him for 4 years, and you're worried about where you might be in 4 years? You know, I know the way you are and the way you live, and you never know. I mean, God hoping you'll be around for a long time.
Good point, Johnny.
Yeah, way to bring it down.
Bring it down.
I'm not trying to bring it down. I was just saying, could it be that it's almost a selfish type reason that you don't want him to go because you're going to lose time with him? I mean, I would think you'd be proud of him for doing something like that. It is a noble cause. I'd believe it to be a noble cause, no matter what kind of
John, it's the risks that are involved there. And as you said, I'm not going to see him for a long period of time because he's going to be traveling for an extensive period of time.
Yeah.
When they go on their cruises, they don't go on 2 months cruises. They go on 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, six months, and so on. Mm. And the port of call that they arrive at could be on the other side of the world.
Yeah. What do you think about North Korea testing those nuclear bombs and shit?
Okay, we segued there, didn't
we? Oh, yeah.
That's what he does. Just let him do what he does.
Well, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think anybody here would agree that it's a good idea.
And I do.
Yeah, I do.
Blow them all up.
That was John over here. it's kind of provoking. I don't know what the UN Security Council is going to do about it, but I think they're going to impose economic sanctions. But that's like a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. No.
I'd love to go to North Korea and just heckle Kim Jong-il with the impression from Team America. Every time he talks,
I don't think
you'd
get that
far.
Do you think he's seen that? I mean,
I bet you he's banned any mention of it. He probably beheads and castrates people who bring it up.
Totally. They're like, Mr. Dill, Mr. Hill, do you see this? This is so funny.
Oh.
Well, Ray, I didn't, you know, it felt like a segue was necessary because, you know. You're going nowhere.
We have
with
to
that.
Jazz this up a little bit.
Apparently, Australia had a swine flu outbreak on a cruise ship.
Really? Oh, and they kept that ship at bay.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
At bay. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah. What do you think about? I'm going to tell you what I think about. And this is another little segue.
All right, let's hear it.
I am so tired of Susan Boyle. I'm so tired of, like, I think it's, you know, what does John call it? The Scott.
Oh no! She's got, you know, the future animated musical star.
She's got
a perfect voice for animated musicals.
Lady can sing.
Not the face for.
She can sing, but like, why do they make this big deal out of it? You know, she's the Scottish singing sensation.
But isn't that what media wants? Media wants something that they can grab a hold of and say, "Oh, this is like perfect."
Yeah.
So they just get all over it until they kill it. Like the John and Kate Plus Eight.
Yeah.
They get all over it until they kill it, until they go away, and then they just find something else.
I find it's garbage, man. I think the media is garbage.
With Susan Boyle, the first time I saw it, I thought for sure, I was like, what is this mess going to do with this microphone? You know, I thought she was going to eat the microphone. But, you know, I was shocked by it, and I got chills listening just to her singing whatever that song was.
Memory or something. Yeah.
Whatever. And I appreciate it. I could understand why people were fascinated with it because she does look like, you know, where there's such the cultural norm today is a beautiful voice goes with a beautiful face and a beautiful body, and there's so many examples of that out there. To see this woman just waddle onto stage, and just like know that she's not what's going
Dave,
on.
Dave, what are you
there?
Doing over there? What
a lot of static.
It's cool. Yeah, it's coming in hot.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Just keep talking.
What are you doing?
You completely ruined the flow, Dave. Good work, buddy.
Fine.
Yeah.
There's Susan Boyle.
You're trying to get Susan Boyle? People, we don't need this.
Yeah, we all
know. All right, I don't care about her.
That's your point, isn't it?
Oh, listen, man. The whole thing about Susan Boyle is like American Idol and all these shows and the media and everything has like, you know, thrown this in her face that beautiful people are supposed to win and be singers, and ugly people have been singing for thousands of years. You know what I'm saying?
But they weren't seen. They were just heard, you know.
No.
Exactly.
That's true.
That is true.
What do you think of Susan Boyle there, Ray?
She's ugly.
Yeah. Right.
Coming from 113-year-old.
If Susan Boyle gave you $10,000 to sleep with her, would you do it?
No.
How about $50?
Unfair.
Oh, right. I can't talk about Susan Boyle.
$50 is worth a hell of a lot more back in the day than it is now.
Yeah.
You have to get it modernized money. Right? Yeah.
I got to work today, man. I don't like it.
It's a beautiful day out.
It is.
It is a beautiful day. Last week was Memorial Day. We didn't miss the Memorial Day show.
Yeah, we did.
But it was a good time. You came out?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Hung out in the park with us for a little while?
Played a little frisbee.
A little frisbee?
My first throw, I go for the biggest guy in the park. You know, the four of us are playing frisbee out there in McCarran Park, and I just wing it, you know? And I picked the biggest dude in the park to, like,
aim it at his head. The only black guy.
Only black guy.
The only black guy in the park.
To wing it at his head. And I said, you know, heads up, and he ducks, and it just, you know, skims him. But, you know, I was pretty lucky, because that would have been a bad start, you know?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So your lady's coming in tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
So you going to pick her up?
How much you want to pay me?
$25.
$25.
Yeah, that's a good deal, dude, for picking a chick up.
Where you got to go?
LaGuardia.
LaGuardia to Midtown.
If it was Kennedy, I'd push it to 40.
And she'll like it, dude, because, you know, you'll pick her up. You get to
where
talk
am
to
I
her.
Dropping her off?
I'm not going to say that on the air, but you're Midtown. Like Upper East.
So I got to drive into Manhattan, you're saying?
Yes, because there's so many people that are going to listen to this today and stalk her.
I know.
Or maybe they'll stalk Mike.
Yeah, true. So what's she coming in for?
She's done with the tour, man.
So what's happening now?
So
she's coming back in.
She's going to be in the city. She's got some jury duty to do.
She's got some jury duty to do?
Yeah, man.
So you guys are going to be hot and heavy again now that she's back?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
What do you think about jury duty? Have you ever done it?
I've done jury duty.
Really?
Yeah. I almost got picked. I was they were picking two people, and they boiled it down to three, and I was one of those three. Mm. And I think I said I hate all people, and then they let me go.
Yeah, I would just say I was racist. You know,
they look for that now. No, yeah. You have to be kind of clever.
Yeah. There's actually last week I think it was somebody left. Well, something happened with jury duty.
I think I know. Al Roker was on a jury, and he got in trouble for talking about the case on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was one of the things.
But he was already dismissed, so I think it was making a mountain out of a molehill.
Ah. Mm. I think they wanted to just latch onto a celebrity Twitter story. Twitter is the new, you know.
It's the new myth.
Twitter is to Facebook what Facebook was to MySpace a year ago.
Sure. And Friendster. Keep happening. Friendster, what MySpace was to Friendster. Yeah. Yeah, they're all just a bunch of crappy
idiots.
Things. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
What's
guys.
Happening over there? Holy hell.
Can't blame that one on me.
Oh, man. All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back.
We should take a break, but we should come back with our final segment because I got
to
get going.
All right. You got to get going. All right. Cool. Yeah, so let's pause
I can
it up.
Give a quick plug. If you want to see Giggles, just go to the Top of the Rock tonight.
Yeah.
Top of the Rock? Well, what are you going to be doing up there?
We're catering.
Is that what you're catering? Top of the Rock?
Top of the Rock.
Interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, take a break. Yeah.
Don't be stupid. Keep going with some more Dave and Giggles stuff. DaveandGiggles@gmail.com.
DaveandGiggles@gmail.com. DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Again, we don't really...
We don't really have
ourselves.
We have three fans and maybe like four listeners.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/DaveGiggle.
Dave Giggle.
Yeah. You know what?
I don't really know how Facebook works, really.
I believe in us.
I believe in us, too. There's actually a Facebook group, too, that I think we have like 45 members.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We have like 170 friends or something.
We have 170 friends, but we got like 40 members for our group.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And they could talk on there. No one talks, though. You should go on there and start to...
We got to up the ante a little bit here.
Start up the ante. Just starting up the ante.
Totally. It's been a good show, guys. This is a good little Saturday afternoon show. We'll hope to get this to you soon, within the next couple days. You know, we're looking for a studio. Anybody has a studio out there?
A little studio.
We need a studio. We need to get out of the kitchen and the living room. Ray, you got a place for us?
Unfortunately not.
No? Thanks for your help.
Where are you living these days, Ray?
Bushwick.
Same place? Same
Bushwick.
Place in Bushwick?
Man. You're not messing around.
Yeah. The place he's living in, I don't know if you want to go into that story out here, but that place is notorious.
It's notorious. We don't want to go into that story. Yeah.
No, we're not talking about it.
Yeah. Let's just say there were raids by some of the boys in blue for some of the roommates that Ray used to have.
Right. Oh, the old one, the old place.
Yeah. No, this is the same
place. The same place?
He's the squatter now. He's like the only one left.
You're the only
seven.
One left?
Yep, the only one. The only survivor. They all got taken away. The lone survivor.
They all got taken away, huh?
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, you know.
It happens when you're 113.
You haven't lived until the police have broken down your door at 6
it's
in
true.
The morning.
Yeah. Damn.
Absolutely. Mm. But that'll be revealed at a later date.
Yeah, I like it.
I do like it.
Certain legal legal issues. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I had a crackhead in college who I lived next door to and lived in this sort of ghetto area in Miami. And she would like bang on my door asking for money. And I was just like, geez. I like
every day?
There was two crackheads catty corner to me. And then across from me was a Rastafarian guy and another Jamaican
Those
guy.
Those are your boys.
Yeah, my boys. So, yeah, I dealt with crack at a young age.
Why do you like Rastafarian music so much?
I think it's different. I like it. Yeah. I don't like it all the time.
Is it because you were around them when you were younger?
No, I mean, I think it's cool. Some of it's a little annoying. But, like, okay. I think I like the sort of undergroundness of reggaeton and, you know.
Reggaeton.
Reggaeton. And like the samba, like I like listening to Latin music. It's got that driving
beat.
You know
that's
about
me. How do we go
from
Rasta to Latin?
I don't know.
It's just what he likes. I just can't. This is what
that's
I can't understand.
Forte, the segue.
A little Latin Lamon.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Wow.
Good show.
So I heard something I was thinking about the other day. Like, you know, the whole like swine flu, the whole like equating that to something like 12 monkeys where, you know, there's like something that kills off 6 million people. Mm. So like you see that every once in a while. Swine flu's coming. That's kind of like how the end happened with 12 monkeys or something along those lines. If you knew the end was coming, say there was a meteor coming.
Yeah.
Would you want to know that you're going to die or would you just rather have it happen? Would you want to know that you have 5 years to live or would you rather have it just end?
Would everybody in the world know that they have 5 years to live?
Sure.
That'd be crazy, dude.
It would be crazy.
That would be nuts if everybody in the world knew that they had 5 years to
live. What would you do?
I'd probably just walk around naked all the time. You know?
Definitely shirtless.
Shirtless.
It is a shirtless summer, apparently.
Yeah, totally.
I think even if you knew, you would do your best to try to forget it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Just lose yourself in the moment.
Sure.
Even if you knew, you would want to forget. So I don't think I would want to know.
Yeah, you think you would want to know?
No, because think about it. Like, yeah, people always say it's so easy to think, you know, oh, if you knew you had 3 days to live, what would you do? Or if you knew you had 5 years to live, what would you do? But I think if you were really in that position, not hypothetically speaking, you would want to wish you could forget.
Yeah.
Because now you know you're working towards your impending doom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just thought I was on the subway the other day, and my mortality hit me. Like, I was like, I could go at any time. You know, somebody could knife me. I could get hit by a bus. I could, you know, have a heart attack. I could, anything, you know.
Did you start
like,
crying on the subway?
No, but yeah. I just got a little bit. I was like, well, shit. I was like, all right, you know.
So what was your, you okay with that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to go. It's not, your number's up, it's up.
It is,
you know?
Strange. I have a balcony in my office. I'm on the 15th floor of a building. It's not even that terribly high, but high enough to kill you. You know, when I go out there to smoke my cigarettes, sometimes I've had these weird sensations where I'm just standing there looking out over the city. I wonder how it would feel to be falling off this and what would happen when you land. And, you know, I've come up with scenarios. If some guy comes running out the stairs and pushes me off or whatnot, how I would react, what I would do. It's kind of weird. I've had to step back from the edge a few times because I've kind of like
freaked yourself out.
Shaking myself up a little
bit. Yeah.
Do you ever get like you're standing next to the subway, you think someone's going to, on the platform, someone's come up and push you off?
I have thought of those scenarios, but those usually more involve me doing some kind of martial art move.
So you think you'll save yourself by doing some martial art?
It's kind of hard to throw me into the subway,
sure.
I think.
There are bigger guys, though.
There are.
Yeah, and not Ray, but other guys.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
He does have a cane, though.
Yeah, I've almost gotten beat up a couple times this week.
That was about that kids who were making fun of your shoes?
Oh, yeah, but there was that kid, and then there's this guy today, like, almost hit me in the car, and, you know, he gave me the finger, and, like, you know.
Was that when we were driving over here?
No, that was when I got my coffee this morning. Some guy. Like, maybe it's just me, but I think people in general are getting angrier and more, like, testier, and I don't know if it's the whole recession, the poverty, whatever, but, like, they're just stressed out, and they want to fight. I think there's a lot of guys that are just looking to fight.
Agreed.
You know, like, young kids, teenagers, older dudes. I see guys with like kids who were like picking fights on the subway. I was like, "Are you serious? You're going to do that in front of your kid, your mom, or not your mom, your wife?"
What seemed to set this guy up
today?
Yeah,
I just said something while he was, you know, passing. I was like, "Hi," you know, and he sort of.
What did he do to you? Just yell at you?
Just yelled at me. Yeah.
Hmm.
But he almost hit me. Like, people almost hit me in the car all the time. And I have.
Maybe you're not paying attention.
No, look, I'm walking on the street and I'm paying attention all the time.
I mean, you call 311.
No, I do.
You do?
I do.
While you're walking?
Yes, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
We played it last week. Maybe we'll play it again next time.
We should.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I do think people have gotten a little angry today, and I hate to say it, but I'm not afraid to say it. I think having Obama as president has made racial issues more prominent now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know, especially he seems to be making everything into a race issue. The whole thing with the new Supreme Court justice, you know, the choosing of a Latina woman is just causing all sorts of new debates on both sides, and it just further inflames the idea of diverse races and difference in races, and it constantly showcases it to the point where people are thinking about race more.
They used to keep it under the carpet, and now they're
Maybe exposing it will be good in the long run, but I think it's definitely going to cause some short-term.
Might as well get those skeletons out of the closet, you know?
Obama does a pretty good job at not talking about it, bringing it up. You know, he makes it known, but he doesn't talk about it. Like, I always thought he was pretty good at that because, like, he is obviously the first black president, but he never really makes it a point to talk about it. He'll showcase it, but he won't talk about things.
But inherently, the stuff he does illuminates him by not talking about it, but makes it a glaring omission. You know, he's got to acknowledge the fact that some of the things and choices he's making are bringing more focus and attention to the idea of the difference in the races. You know, everything is about this new Supreme Court justice. Everybody talks about she's a Latina woman. That's the first thing that people talk about.
Yeah.
You know, not that she's a good judge or a bad judge. It's always she's a Latina woman. It's good for the country. Because she's a Latina woman, it's good for the country. Because she's a good judge. It should be because she's a good judge, but it's not.
I actually know nothing about her. I've not caught up on the story at all.
She said some...
Is she pretty liberal, or is she pretty... Oh, yeah. She's really liberal.
Yeah. And she said some pretty racially charged statements. She actually said she thinks she makes a better judge having gone through, and I'm not quoting exactly, gone through the rich experiences that a Latina woman would experience in her lives more so, and doing a better job more so than a white male. Because she has more experience, a depth of experience to draw on. And to me, that's a racist statement. But, of course, if you say it, then you're in trouble.
You are racist.
They're all over you. And then you're the racist.
Yeah.
You're
the racist.
Damn.
I'm not going to get riled up.
Well, everybody knows I'm racist. So.
You are the most racist giggles I've ever met.
True.
That's it for today.
Good show, guys.
Good show.
Ray, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, Ray.
Thank you for having me.
Johnny C., thank you, dude.
No worries. We'll bring Ray back.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. I just got a little chill looking at you, smiling.
All right. Bless time.
Cheers, guys.
Idly hey.
Go home.
Doodly do. That we have to grow old.